The Tribune has another big story on the front page today with a lot of homework done by Todd Leidy. And they talk about the intersection of his public life and his personal finances, Bill Daly. That's him on the phone now? Okay, good. Line 7. Mr. Daly, John Williams, you're on WGN Radio. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Good, John. I'm well, thanks. Thanks for having me on. Hope you're having a good afternoon.
I am. I hope you are, too. I wonder what your reaction was to the story on the front page of the Tribune today. I was just about to mention a few things in that story. What jumped out at you? What should I know or care about the Tribune story today? It's about your public life and your family and personal fortune.
Well, look, I've worked hard. I'm blessed. I filed the most extensive sort of public vetting that one can do. A lot of those numbers are very inaccurate or large ranges, but look, I'm trying to be as open and transparent as one can be. Obviously, when you've been involved in government, especially at the level I have been involved in, you're required to make certain pronouncements about one's personal wealth and other things, and that's fine. That's the price of admission if you're going to be chief of staff or secretary of commerce, and it is what it is, so I have no problem with any of that.
I'll read you one sentence, though, from Todd Leidy's reporting. The Daly campaign on Thursday declined to directly answer a question on what steps Daly would take to ensure his financial interests don't conflict with his public duties. What about that?
That's a given. You can't have your problem. There's all sorts of ethics laws, and as I've said, I will reveal complete tax returns for 4 years, and I would take all the steps necessary. That's just a given. To make sure that there are no conflicts. And, you know, it's a full-time job. I know that as well as anyone knows it. So that's not an issue. I'm not quite sure what he was trying to get to. But anyways, that's pretty well of a established precedent, except for our president. That seems to be the case.
One last thing about that, speaking of the president.
Sure.
So have you or will you continue to share your income tax returns then with people?
Sure. Oh, yes. I announced it. You know, my brother for 22 years did that, and I've said, I'm mayor. I said this months and months ago as soon as I announced that would be the case. And a whole bunch of other sort of ethics reforms and transparency that one should do. And that's a given.
Bill, in this survey that was done that Channel 5 had, they asked people what were the important issues for them in Chicago for the mayor's race. And number one was crime and drugs, followed by economy and jobs. Are those your priorities, too, in that order?
Absolutely. It's crime and it's taxes. And the taxes relate to the economy, relate to whether we can have economic growth, or whether it's a shrinking city that requires more of the people who live here and work here. And that's the big challenge. But those are the two issues, and they have been that, to be honest with you, since day one of this campaign. And that's not surprising.
To raise revenue, how much do you like the following three ideas? Marijuana, legalized for recreational purposes, gambling, and commuter tax. If you work in the city but you don't live in the city, then you have to pay some sort of tax.
You know, Mike, I laid those and many others out months ago on potential new revenue. But at the same time, because of the enormity of our long-term economic problems, we also, on the other side of the equation, have to deal with the expense side regarding the long-term liabilities, i.e. the pension obligation. Because right now, there are 50,000 retirees, 35,000 present employees. That's 85,000 people. That represents about 3% of our population. That amounts to a $28 billion anchor around the future of this city, and we must address it. Not to put this on the back of the retirees. That's not fair. But on the other hand, we can't just put it on the backs of the taxpayers.
Okay.
We have to sit down and have a discussion and a negotiation that cannot happen if we don't address the Constitution and give us a chance to have an opportunity to affect what is a tremendously potentially damaging thing to the future of this city.
Okay, so are you saying that you are interested in amending the Constitution so that we can ask or force those pensioners to take less?
I've said that from the beginning, not to force anyone, to have us on honest negotiation with the people who represent them, the labor leaders, okay, and say, we have a problem. How do we get to a solution so that the city stays strong or gets stronger and the opportunities are here for the future workers and the future residents? Without that change, Mike, it is no one has laid out any plan on just revenue for how to do this, or else you're just going to keep pounding people on taxes, and that doesn't work when you're talking about a $28 billion obligation on the future residents of the city.
Yeah, you almost want to get creative, don't you? And I think some of your ideas have been on the revenue side. I think what you're going after is kind of a sacred cow on the pension side for a lot of people on the expense side. But I understand the need to address that. Good luck to you on that.
Right, I will reiterate, it should not be on the backs of the retirees. That's not fair to them.
Well, I'm sorry.
On the other hand,
if you ask them to compromise, and if that I hear that to mean they'll have to find some settlement where they take less, how would they not feel that that's on their backs?
But here's the problem. Those people who remain here as residents will be stuck with this and growing taxes because you have one choice. You either cut services or you keep raising revenue on that side. And I have laid out that all of those revenue items you've mentioned, and that's those are all options, but none of those add up to addressing the issue that we have at hand.
But what would you offer them, Bill? But then what would you offer them? If you say, okay, I need some help on this expense side, what would you offer the firefighters and teachers and police officers who've been receiving pensions if they were?
I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to, on this call, obviously, negotiate anything. But and I've said this to labor leaders who I have enormous respect for. There is no reason for you to even discuss this issue, and because you can't, because the Constitution basically gives you total protection from any discussion here. So, and I respect them, and they basically said you're right, and that's our position. But that I, as mayor of the city of Chicago, if I'm so honored, I don't have the luxury of having that position when I look at what people are paying in taxes and what the future obligations
be. You can't even have a fruitful conversation about this until you amend the Constitution to at least open up that door.
Right, because that labor leader, who I, again, respect, he's a politician, or she is, who runs for office of the union. And their attitude could be, I don't have to do anything here. It's your problem. It's all of our problems.
Who's the opponent that gives you the most trouble, would you say? The Sun-Times has endorsed Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Jen, I'm somebody who, I'm just trying to plow ahead, be positive. I'm not attacking anyone. I'm not criticizing people. Trying to lay out who I am, what I've done as Bill Daley, what my ideas are, and think people are fair in the city of Chicago. And there's 14 candidates or 15 or whatever there are. No one's ever seen anything like this in Chicago. And the voters will vote for the first go-round in 9 days, on February 26th. And then, if I'm lucky enough to get in the runoff, the next one will be April 2nd. And hopefully after that, I have the chance to lead the city.
One other thing, the Tribune has that story on the front page today, and we've talked about that. Previous to that, they wrote a story about how 40 years ago, when you got your state license for selling insurance, maybe somebody answered some of the questions for you. Did that happen?
Look, there's nothing in that article that says that I did anything regarding that whole issue 46 years ago, okay? And it is what it is. That article was written. The facts that they laid out are the facts, I guess. But it doesn't say I did anything wrong. And as I've stated, I have been vetted for some of the highest security levels and by the FBI, CIA, blah, 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 whoever, to be Secretary of Commerce and Chief of Staff. So I'm proud of the record that I've, and the professional and personal life that I've led over the last number of years.
I was surprised the story came out in the Tribune because it is such an old story. But what I didn't hear you then, But what I didn't hear you say then or now is I was the beneficiary of somebody's malfeasance. I may not have done it. I may have had, but somebody.
Well, that seems to be the point of the story, and that's a given if that's the case. But you know, I as this article says. And that fact then, almost 50 years ago, said, I had nothing to do with it.
Bill, good luck to you. I appreciate your time.
Right.
They're waving. I mean, we have some breaking news here, but thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you for having me. Talk to you soon.